So then what after you graduate? Your first job then after you graduate?
Jonesboro, Arkansas, KASU Radio on the campus of Arkansas State University. One of the high school buddies that I referenced, his name was Bill Clutho. We played baseball, softball, basketball together. But he and I were interested in music. He was a piano player. I was a guitar player. We were both self-taught. I was in a little, we called them Beatle Band. I was in a, people would call it now a garage band. We called them Beatle Bands because we had two guitars, a bass, and a drummer. I started doing that when I was 13 years old and pretty much taught myself how to play guitar. I don't read music, except when I was in high school and college, I played French horn, and I could read music doing that. But Bill and I were interested in music, so we would play together. We actually wrote some songs together that are probably lost in the sands of time somewhere. But we were also interested in broadcasting. He was more, he wanted to be, I think, more of a disc jockey. I wanted to do the sports thing. Well, he goes to Arkansas State out of high school on a baseball scholarship because he was a really good pitcher. So he gets a scholarship offer and goes to Jonesboro for 4 years. He's down there working on the radio station. And he called me when I was getting ready to graduate in December of 75 and said, hey, we got an opening for a news director at the radio station. It was an FM station, NPR, just like KWGS over at TU, you know, NPR local station. He said, I told my GM about you that you're just about to get out of school. And I think he probably made up a few things about how experienced I was. He said, why don't you come down here? I took a Greyhound bus from St. Louis to Jonesboro, Arkansas, spent the night with him, interviewed for the job, took the bus back to St. Louis the next day. About a week later, they called and offered me the job. So it was Christmas of 1975. I had just graduated from UMKC. Within 2 weeks, I had a job lined up. I needed a car. I didn't have a car. My dad found a 1974 Buick Skylark with no air conditioning. I think he paid like $700 for that car. I drove it to Jonesboro, Arkansas and started my first job right after New Year's in 1976.
All right. How did you think you could be a news director when you really didn't have any news background?
It was a one-man news department. I had read some news on the campus station. You know, we had taken production classes at UMKC. I had a wonderful production guy there. I had two great professors, an older gentleman, the quintessential professor with the full beard, the gray hair, you know, smoking his pipe. His name was Gaylord Marr. He taught all of the history courses in terms of the history of broadcasting, you know, how radio got started, all that stuff, which was really fascinating to me. The other guy who taught all the production classes was kind of a loose cannon, really fun, crazy guy named Bob Musburger, who's still with us. He was a cousin of Brent Musburger, the great broadcaster at CBS, later ESPN and ABC. So I had those two guys that kind of guided me through those last 2 years. I don't know what they saw in me, but it seemed to me that they gave me some opportunities that they didn't give other people there. I mean, I was 250 miles away from home, you know, just glad to be pursuing what I was, and I was willing to do anything. And as a crazy example of that, John, there was 1 year in my second semester junior, first semester senior, when I worked at a radio station, KBEA, in Mission, Kansas. That shift was from 1 o'clock till 8 o'clock a.m. on Saturday morning. And I'm in the dorm at 8 o'clock Friday night trying to sleep before I go over there. I was in college, a buddy let me use his car to go over to KBEA every Friday night. I would do rip and read news, spin records, you know, everything a disc jockey does on those, take a few phone calls. I got to know an older lady over in Kansas City named Frances, who became my biggest fan. She would call me, we'd be on the phone for a half hour talking. I'm like, Francis, I got to put a record on. Hold on. And then I would drive back into Kansas City. It was about a 20-minute trip over to Mission. I'd go up through the drive-thru at McDonald's, grab an Egg McMuffin, get back to campus, and then I was on the air from 9 to 12 at KCUR, which was the UMKC NPR station. which helped me later because, you know, I knew all about NPR when I got to Arkansas. But I would work that shift from 9 to 12. And if there was a soccer game that afternoon, I was up on the bleachers doing the soccer game or in the spring a baseball game. And then I would probably get to sleep about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and nobody saw hide nor hair of me until about noon on Sunday. So I did that for the better part of a year. You know, John, those are the things you do when you're kind of crazy about what you're doing. The job in Mission paid $250 an hour. KCUR, $250 an hour. And, you know, so I had a little pocket change here and there, but I didn't really have time for a social life because I was chasing this broadcast thing.
You were passionate, for sure, and it's that passion that drives you on, and you'll do anything. You weren't working for money. You were working because it was fun.
I know eventually when I met my wife, Debbie, she was making more money than I was, so I don't know how good I looked on paper, but it was probably not real strong.
When did you meet Debbie?
I met her here in January of 77 after I got to Tulsa. So I was in Jonesboro, and after about 5 months there, I got a call from A. Ray Smith, the owner of the Tulsa Oilers. Now, this is not the previous ballpark that was right on the corner of 15th and Yale. This was the ballpark before that that's over by where the Tulsa County Health Department is. It's a parking lot now. And where the batter's box was is painted on the parking lot there of old Oiler Park. I got a call from A. Ray over in Jonesboro. He said, hey, Bing Devine from the Cardinals called me. I had received 35 rejection letters from minor league teams all over the country. I had sent out resume tapes my senior year in college and before I got the job in Jonesboro. And I sent, I think, 35 to 40 resume, literal, you know, the old little five-inch reels with about 15, 20 minutes of play-by-play on them. I had edited those myself back in the days when we had the razor blade and you would cut the tape and tape it together. Got some really nice rejection letters, very kind, and I still have those. I pull them out every once in a while to look at them.
So you sent to 35 minor league teams.
Mm-hmm. And the one response I got was from the Tulsa Oilers. But Bing Devine, the great Cardinals GM in St. Louis, was my sister's boss by then. And he placed a call to A. Ray, and I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you have anything. I've heard this guy's, when I used to go to St. Louis on weekends and do my, record my resume tapes, Bing Devine came in the booth one day and listened to me. I guess he liked what he heard. And he told A. Ray, I don't know if you have any jobs open, but, you know, I think this kid's got a chance to be pretty good. So I was only 5 months, 6 months out of school. A. Ray called me. Said, hey, can you come over to Tulsa this weekend? Well, I got off the air at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. This is Memorial Weekend. This is the middle of May in 76. I drove, it's like 6 hours from Jonesboro over here, because Jonesboro's over by Memphis. You know, it's way over in northeast Arkansas. I drove over here, spent the night at the Saratoga Motor Hotel on 11th Street, right by 169, which I think under a different name still stands to this day. A. Ray owned that hotel, and that's where all the visiting teams stayed when they came in to play the Oilers. I went to his trailer outside the third baseline of Oiler Park the next morning and met with him. And he said, I've heard your tape. He said, but I want to hear you live on the air. He said, can you go on the air tonight for a couple of innings? I said, sure. You know, the Oilers were home. Their number one radio announcer was a guy named, who he's about 3 or 4 years older than me. His name was Terry Green. Terry's from Springfield, Missouri. I don't know if you ever noticed this. When you drive through Springfield, you're in Greene County. His dad was a judge. His grandfather was a judge. And his great-grandfather was a judge. And that county was named after his great-grandfather, Greene County of Missouri. So anyway, Terry was the guy. A. Ray put me on the air with him for about 3 innings that night. Terry and I had a great rapport. We were both Missouri boys, you know, and all that. I said, hey, man, I'm not here to get your job. I'm just trying to get a job. So, I hope I'm just trying to have fun with this. I hope you don't think I'm pulling anything here. And he said, no, we're good. Well, he took me out after the game. You know, we hung out for a while. So the plan was I was going to go back in and see A. Ray Sunday morning and then drive back to Jonesboro. A. Ray says, you know, I heard you last night, but I'd really like to hear you again. Can you go on the air today? I'm here. Yeah, sure. It's fine. Well, what I didn't know was at that time of the year, the Oilers had started playing their games on Sunday night, not Sun, because it was getting hot. So I had to wait till 7 o'clock. He put me on the air for about 3 innings. He called me down to his little private suite and said, he said, hey, I know you have to get back to Arkansas. He said, I really like what I hear. I'll give you a call sometime this week. I got into Jonesboro at 3:30 in the morning. I was on the air at 7. Did that week. A. Ray asked me to come back the following week and do the same thing again. Go on the air Saturday night and Sunday night. I did it again. And then finally after that, he offered me a job. And my first weekend here was Memorial Weekend, 1976.
How old were you?
23.
Wow.
I thought I was hot stuff, John. I'm 6 months out of college. I got a AAA baseball job. But A. Ray didn't have it in the budget to pay me. You may remember this name. There was a wonderful guy. His name was Pat DeLosier. Pat was one of the top sales guys at KVOO back then, who was competing. KVOO, KRMG, man, those two AM radio stations, you know, with all your great years there at 740 on the dial. Pat got hired by a company to be the general manager at KKUL, 103.3 here in Tulsa. It was a soul station. Well, it got bought by a group, and they were going to make it a rock station. So Pat took over. He became the GM. A. Ray called Pat, said, hey, I got this kid who needs a job. Can you hire him as a salesman? I knew nothing about radio advertising. So anyway, I sold ads during the day, went to the ballpark at night for a hot dog and a Coke, and that's how I got started in baseball in 1976. And then I met Debbie about 6 months after that. But the interesting thing was, John, the stadium was falling apart, and I didn't know it. You might remember that stadium had to be condemned. The Oilers, A. Ray tried and tried to get a new stadium deal, and he couldn't get one. The Oilers left town, went to New Orleans. I was making $800 a month selling radio advertising. A. Ray offered me $600 to go to New Orleans. I didn't think I could afford to live in New Orleans on $600 a month, and I didn't go. 3 months after I made that decision, I met my wife in Tulsa. So, you know, the House of the Rising Sun is always playing in the back of my mind. I'm wondering what would have happened to the poor boy had he gone to New Orleans, you know. But I stayed in Tulsa, and for me, the rest has kind of been history around here.